On this New Year's Day service, we read from the Word of God from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we start reading at verse 8. And then we continue reading through chapter 15, verse 6. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 8. It's about King Asa, king of Judah. We hear the word of God. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And they came out against them, Zerah the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon on this New Year's Day morning is the second part of verse 2. Verse 2b, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Beloved congregation, we've just entered this new year, 2023, and we may have our anticipations, maybe our fears or worries or concerns. But whatever the case, we all need guidance and grace in order to do what the Lord calls us to do. And so we focus our attention on the words of the prophet Azariah, an unknown prophet. He was a son of Oded, and he came from Jerusalem. That's basically all we know about the prophet Azariah. But we hear him speaking, and that's very profound. It's a word for us on this New Year's morning. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. It's a word applicable to King Asa and his victorious army. But it's a word applicable to all people from all ages and also for us. Regardless of our situation or of concerns or anticipations we may have, this word has something to say to you and me. And therefore we consider here the words of our text guidance for the new year. And this text refers to, in the first place, being in Christ, secondly, seeking Christ, and thirdly, forsaking Christ. Now, at the time of the prophet Azariah, the Lord Jesus still had to come. It was still around 900 years before the Lord Jesus would actually come. But how can God have dealings with sinners? Can only be through the mediator. Because God is too holy to have communion with sinful, wicked people. And so there needs to be a mediator. And the mediator was then already the Lord Jesus Christ, although he had to come. The godly ones from the Old Testament were saved because of the work of Christ, which still had to be fulfilled. So Christ was the mediator for Adam and Eve. And he is still the mediator. He was it also for King Asa. And therefore guidance for this new year refers to being in Christ, seeking Christ and forsaking Christ. Well, in the setting of our text, we see what happened. What transpired before the prophet Azariah spoke these words. The text deals with King Asa. And King Asa was the great-grandson of King Solomon. After Solomon, boys and girls, who reigned over the two tribes, that was Rehoboam. And after that, his son Abijah. And then his son, Asa, he became king. And during the reign of the previous kings, there had been serious backsliding among the people. They had turned away from the Lord their God, although the temple service still took place, and although they had the name of the Lord upon their lips, but still there was backsliding. There was an affinity with strange gods because they are also gods. And so there was carnality and sins were allowed. But this new leader, King Asa, he was a different man. He wanted to lead the people back to the Lord. He knew that his father and grandfather did not serve the Lord as they should have done. And so King Asa tries to initiate a reformation among the people. And the Lord blessed him. In the first years of his reign, there was prosperity. And the godly ones among Judah thanked the Lord for such a king to rule over them. But then a terrible threat occurred. A huge army of Ethiopians. The Ethiopians were aligned with the Egyptians. They were at times one kingdom. So they came up together. A huge army of 1 million soldiers and 300 chariots. And Asa had to go out to battle to defend his nation, to defend Jerusalem. And he went out with a much smaller army. And just before the battle would be initiated, he rallied his army. And then he prayed. He did the most important thing. We hear him in the presence of his army addressing them and praying. Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not men prevail against thee. So in faith, this godly king laid the needs before the Lord on behalf of his army, on behalf of his people. And all those there could hear him praying. And then the battle started. And the enemy, that huge army of 1 million men, was smitten. They had to flee. The power of Egypt and Ethiopia was broken for a long period. I believe the next time we hear of an invading army of Egyptians, that was during the reign of King Josiah, when Pharaoh Necho came up from Egypt. And that would be 300 years later. So this victory was decisive. It was done. They could not recover themselves for a long, long time. So the Lord gave a glorious victory to King Asa. And the Lord gave them much booty or loot that they carried away back to Jerusalem. And on the way back, coming close to Jerusalem, they meet someone who was sent out to meet them. It's a special person. It's the prophet Azariah. It's only here in 2 Chronicles 15 we find a reference to this prophet Azariah. He was called by the Lord to speak the word of the Lord, and now something had happened to him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him with such power. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a person, we must listen. Listen to what he has to say. And so this man, this prophet, goes out to meet King Asa. And he has a message for them. Azariah is bold. He's courageous. He clearly sees the divine message he has to bring across. And he knows how he must instruct the people. The Lord is enabling him to speak with clarity, with simplicity, with earnestness. The prophet Azariah is going to give a word in due season. So Azariah did not meet the army to congratulate them. He did not meet the army to rejoice with them in this great victory, but he came with the word of God to caution them, to warn them. And why did the Lord send Azariah to warn King Asa and his army? That was because of the great joy that these people had. Now, there's nothing wrong with joy. True joy is indeed belonging to the fruit of the Spirit. But in this case, there was exuberance. There was joy. They were enthused. And we can imagine that as they had brought so much loot along with them, sheep and camels in abundance, they had gained a glorious victory. It was a most exhilarating experience But at the same time, that can be a very dangerous condition to be in. Because when things are going well with you and you prosper, then the danger is that you presume that everything will stay like this in the future. And then there's a danger that you become overconfident. There's a danger of becoming proud. The temptation to think that also by our own strength and by our tactics and by our strategy we gain the victory, or by my hard work or by my intelligence I gain so much prosperity. Then a person becomes overconfident. The temptation to think that by our own strength or by our willpower we gain this all. And that's why things are working out well with us. Of course, God blessed us, but we did a lot too. And King Asa and his men were liable to this temptation. And that's why this experience is a dangerous one. And therefore, the Lord sends the prophet Azariah to actually warn King Asa and his men. At the same time, it's also to encourage them. It's not to put them down. It's to show them a way that they can go. But it's a way they should tread with caution, realizing who God is and what their calling is. They were to walk in the ways of the Lord. And therefore, Azariah tells them, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And how can God be with them? How can God be with man? How can a holy God have dealings with you and me? Well, we mentioned it already. It's through Christ. He is the mediator. The Lord heard the prayers of King Asa in that terrible, difficult situation he was in. The Lord heard those prayers because of the work of Christ, the mediator. It was for Jesus' sake that the Lord gave this victory to King Asa. And so actually King Asa and his people are urged to realize this. They are to be in Christ. They are to be with the Lord. And the Lord will be with them. If they are with him, if they are in Christ, if they look to the Lord Jesus Christ, if they look to the Lord, then the Lord will look upon them. And that means a life of following the Lord, a life of cleaving to him, a life of obedience to the Lord. And therefore we need the grace of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is willing to give that grace of the Holy Spirit. But the focus in life should be upon the Lord and not upon ourselves. It's to be with him and to live through him. That's a calling for King Asa. The people had just experienced that the Lord had been with them. And now this situation should be continued. The Lord should remain to be with them. And that will only be when they trust with their heart upon the Lord, when they lean upon him and they trust in God. They were encouraged to realize that they are fully dependent upon the Lord. And the words later on to be spoken by the Lord Jesus, without me ye can do nothing. That had to be reality for King Asa and his men. It's a word of caution. The Lord is with you while you be with him. It's a blessing to know the Lord, to be devoted to him, to be sincere in your devotion. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to live close to the Lord, for then you are afraid to sin. then you realize the Lord is observing you in all you do and everything you speak. Then a person lives in the fear of God. Then you are afraid of displeasing the Lord and causing His face to be hidden from you. And that is not only how you behave in public, but especially in private. It will be then your desire to be in living communion with the Lord Jesus. And when a person experiences the goodness and love of God and realizes how the Lord has advanced him and prospered him, then such must realize that this is all of God's grace. And therefore, on the first day of this new year, 2023, we are also encouraged by these words of the prophet Azariah. The Lord is with you while you be with him. We also experience a certain prosperity. We also experience certain blessings. And we are also in danger of becoming proud because of advantages, because of prosperity. But today we are cautioned that we need to be in communion with God. We need to walk with God, to live as close as we can to the Lord. The focus of our lives must be upon Him. We need a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Christ, God becomes to us a loving and caring Father. It's only in and through Christ that we are blessed. And that's a struggle, congregation. This is the greatest struggle in life, because our flesh and our heart are disinclined to do this. We want to promote ourselves. And when God's Spirit gives you light upon who you really are in yourself, then indeed you humble yourself. Then you understand, wretched man that I am. And then you become low. And then becomes a miracle that God looks upon such a person as you are. Then you need His grace. Not only once, but every day. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. You need to have His Spirit working in you. And that becomes the challenge. The biggest struggle in life is to be and to remain to be in Christ. And what a blessing to be in Christ. Because then He watches over you, wherever you are, whatever you do. Then He renews your strength every day. Then He will cause all things to work together for your good. The Lord is with you while you be with Him. And what does it then mean, again, to be with the Lord? That means that your life is subject to God, subject to His Word. Then you will hide behind the cross of Christ. Then you pray incessantly to be filled with His Spirit. You ask the Lord as you approach crossroads in life what His will is for you. Your eyes are open to see the reality of your corrupt condition. And so you become humble, confessing your corruptions. You learn to follow the Lord. You seek to be obedient to His will. And you seek to fulfill the calling God has given you. You will reflect upon the sufferings of Christ and upon His glorious resurrection. That all happens when you be with Him, when you are in Christ. And you consider that He is now in heaven at the right hand of God, that He is causing His kingdom to come, that gives you joy, and you adore His name. And you realize, and you are encouraged, what you find in the next chapter, In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And then you have expectation from this God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And this is now the calling. This is essential. And therefore we need to bow our knees for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be men and women, boys and girls, who seek Christ. And therefore the text continues and says, if ye seek him, he will be found of you. If you seek him, he will be found of you, and you will be led to be in Christ. You will be led to be with God, and God will be with you. That's in the way of seeking. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. And that's an encouraging word. It's so very simple. The children in church understand this. If you seek the Lord, he will be found of you. And you boys and girls are also called to seek the Lord, and you will find him. It's what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7. The Lord is reiterating these words. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we find this truth in so many places of God's Word. Continually people are called and aroused to seek the Lord, to come to him, and no longer to live for themselves, but to seek the Lord. We find it in so many places. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And so many examples of people in need who cried out unto the Lord, who were seeking the Lord. They realize they can't help themselves anymore. It's a blessing to realize that you cannot help yourself anymore, that you are at your wit's end. And so you cry out to the Lord for his intervention. In Psalm 30, verse 10, hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. In Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. It's so simple, and yet so deep, so profound. And in order to cry out to the Lord, a person has to realize that he cannot help himself anymore. He has to get off his high chair and he has to confess, Lord, I am lost without thee. And so you deny yourself and you bow down before the Lord, lifting up empty hands. And so you need God to intervene in your life. You need to learn of him what it is to rest in Christ alone and to have him as our refuge. Self-denial is needed. But that is a rich blessing when people seek the Lord. And that means, of course, seeking the Lord in the right manner. That's a rich blessing. It's not the idea that we bring a wish list before the Lord. But the idea is that God would be glorified in our lives. That the Lord will undo sin and the results of sin. And that our lives will be attuned to follow him and to deny ourselves. It's about God and his honor in my life. It's realizing that I am unworthy of the least of God's blessings. And so the Lord invites me to seek him. And that he will be found of me. Such a great miracle that God hears prayer. That God hears prayer of sinful people. And that's only because of the work of the triune God, through God the Father, who can still be gracious to sinners because of the sacrifice of His Son. It's because of the Son of God who gave Himself as a ransom price, who became man and laid down His life to bridge the chasm between God and man. It's because of God the Holy Spirit who uncovers people to their need and who leads them to cry out for the living God. It's because of the work of the triune God that He is able and willing to hear prayer. Psalm 65, verse 2, what we could sing in Psalter 170, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. That's a great encouragement. In this new year, you may come to this God and seek Him. For if you seek Him, He will be found of you. People who cry out of the depths, who realize they must believe and they cannot believe, who realize their lives must be changed and they cannot do that themselves. There's a God in heaven who can do far above what you imagine. Prayer is the best. David once said of Goliath, at least of the sword of Goliath, that it was the very best sword. And we may say that prayer is the very best. How much time do we take to pray for one another? How much time do we take to pray for our own real needs, our spiritual needs, for our soul? We need prayer, continual prayer. When sailors on a ship, they strike a leak, they need to pump. A pump is essential. Because of a pump, ships stay afloat when the waves break and splash and rage over the ship. For you and me, prayer is like that pump. When afflictions and doubt and temptations wash all over you, when you are afraid of drowning under the waves of oppression and your soul is overwhelmed, you need prayer. Prayer will keep you afloat like the pump keeps that ship afloat. Psalm 69 says, your heart shall live that seek the Lord. It's so simple and so profound. This is the real struggle in life. The real struggle is not what happens in public life, but it's what happens in personal life, in private. The battles God's children go through are not in the midst of outward circumstances that everyone can see, but the real battle takes place behind closed doors in prayer. It's through prayer that we receive strength to face a certain affliction, that through prayer we are equipped to face certain circumstances in public that people can see, but the real decision and the real battle has already taken place in private by prayer. That's where the battles are won, although the actual battle still has to take place. Let us not underestimate the blessing of prayer. Let us not slacken in prayer. But in this new year, let us seek grace to be diligent in prayer. Isn't that the characteristic of a child of God? I think I mentioned it before that Martin Luther said the trade of a Christian is to pray. The trade of a tailor is to mend clothes and of a cobbler to mend shoes. And the trade of a Christian is to pray. That's his characteristic. Like John Bunyan said, in that illustration in the house of interpreter as a man with his eyes focused upon the Lord and a crown is above his head and a book in his hand. That's a Christian. He's a man of prayer. How much do you pray? The men of God, they prayed. They prayed in the morning and the evening. Daniel prayed 3 times a day with open windows towards Jerusalem. The Roman centurion Cornelius daily sought the Lord with prayer and even fasting. And then the Lord directed Peter to speak the gospel to him. Cornelius, a Roman, a man of prayer. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself needed prayer. He would seek his Father at night or early in the morning. He needed to have this communion with his Father, although he had no sin to confess and although he had all power at his disposal. But he needed to commune with God. Do you sense that need to withdraw yourself, to have communion with God, not to get something from God, but to be with God in that personal, private devotion? That's prayer. And that's guidance for the new year. But the prophet Azariah says one more thing, and that is forsaking Christ. For he said also, if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And that is a scary reality. A scary reality that can encroach upon us before you are aware of it. It's a painful reality. That people forsake the Lord. And that's your and my nature. We are inclined to forsake the Lord. That while we think we are in the Lord's way and doing the Lord's will and the Lord's work, we are actually forsaking Him. Everything becomes bland and lukewarm. And the ardent desire is no longer there. We fail to see thou vital need of Him, that heartfelt pursuit of the Lord is lacking. We become more lenient to the things of the world, and we start to forsake the Lord. Too many people, they forsake the Lord and they're not even aware of it. They still consider themselves to be Christians. But the self-scrutiny and the personal struggle against indwelling sin fades to the background. The focus in life is no longer on the Lord and how I can live close to the Lord, but the focus is upon my enjoyment and that I'm not so concerned anymore about God's honor in my life. And certain little sins are tolerated. But then you're forsaking Christ. The emphasis is not upon God in your life, but upon yourself. And then you're forsaking the Lord. And there are many examples in Scripture. Many of the kings of Judah, they were forsaking the Lord. King Joash, as long as the high priest Jehoiada was still alive, Joash was a God-fearing man. But when Jehoiada died, Joash listened to his wicked counselors and he departed from the Lord. He forsook the Lord. And then the Spirit of God came upon Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, and said, because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. Joash, it started so well, but it ended bad. and King Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles 12. When enemies came into the land, the word of the Lord came to Rehoboam by a prophet saying, "Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you." In spite of past blessings, and the Lord forsakes. And the prophet Azariah refers to an example to the days of the judges. There was a time when Israel had forsaken the Lord, and they were overcome by much misery, by sin. People couldn't even travel properly because there were so many bandits and unrest in the country. Everyone did what was right in his own sight. There was no law and order. That was all because of their forsaking God. They didn't pay attention to the revealed word of God. They didn't want to listen to the proclamation of God's word. They were so filled with themselves. But those were days when Israel was overwhelmed by their enemies. There was unrest and infighting and violence and fear. And the world we live in is full of fear. It's full of violence. It's full of oppression, full of unrest. And that's because we are forsaking God. The problems in our country and our Western society are only being aggravated. And that's because a generation has risen up who does not know the Word of God. We have forsaken God's Word as a nation. And that's why God is forsaking us. And that's why there's so much unrest and trouble and problems. It's because of the forsaking of God. People who have been raised in church, but they have forsaken the Lord. And now they are held captive by atheism, by addiction, by their lusts. They do what is right in their own sight. But the reality is they have forsaken God, and now God is forsaking them. Then they have no covering for their guilt. They're not even concerned about their sins. They think they are quite good. They think they don't do that much harm, while they transgress every commandment of God. God is forsaking them. And then there's no hope, really. There's no perspective. They are held captive by their own sins that leads to everlasting death. That's how terrible it is to forsake God. But those who are still rejecting Christ, there is still deliverance. We see that deliverance in our chapter in verse 4. But when they, in their trouble, the trouble they were in because they had forsaken God, but when they were in their trouble, they did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him. He was found of them. For there is deliverance in Christ. There's no need that God would forsake us if we turn to the Lord God. And so the Lord calls all men everywhere to repent, that they would not forsake Him, but lay their lives down before Him and turn to Him. And this is guidance for the new year. We must desire Christ, His fullness. And then we don't have to look at the great multitude that is opposing us. The power of secularism, the powers in our society that are being unleashed. We don't have to look at the great multitude of our own shortcomings. We don't have to look at the impediments and the troubles that we are in, but we may look above all that to the Lord God, who is able to deliver, and who delivered Asa from a million soldiers, because the Lord is faithful. We may come to Christ. He is the well from whom all the waters of salvation and deliverance flow. Your life must be in Christ. For the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Amen. Shall we pray? O gracious Lord, we humbly acknowledge thee that thou in thy goodness hast come to us on this first service of the new year. And thou hast shown us the way, how we need to live, and how thy blessing would be received. Wilt thou give us willing hearts, that our hearts would not be filled with all kinds of objections and all kinds of complaints and unwillingness, but may we be very willing. Wilt thou make us to be willing, and that we indeed would take heed to these words of the prophet Azariah. Lord, wilt thou go with us and lead us in this new year. May this new year be a blessed year. Could it be for all of us that thy nearness would be experienced, that spiritual life would be received, that we would seek thee and be found of thee, and that we would look unto thee and live according to thy will by thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, grant us thy nearness. Wilt thou be with us the remainder of this day? And be with us also this afternoon when office bearers may be installed. Hear us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.